Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As mentioned earlier, we'll be studying the book of John, chapter 10. Well before computers, cell phones, and YouTube, plenty before TV and radio, even before Kodak was a name synonymous with pictures for a while, and there were no artistic works hung in any museums, great teachers and speakers would get their messages across through word pictures. Scenes, local scenes, were depicted through very descriptive words and adjectives. People could picture in their minds, great for memory retention, what the speaker was describing because they had seen it before for themselves. The applications for the lessons were then associated with these word pictures. Basically, anyone who would see a scene that had been used to teach, they'd remember the lesson. The lesson became personalized and easily understood and part of their everyday life. And that's a system which the master teacher Jesus regularly used as he taught people deep truths by using parables and word pictures. And among those word pictures, we have today's portion of scripture from the Gospel of John. Jesus offered a picture to his listeners and to you and me today that offers us comfort and assurance, confidence and peace for this life and the life to come. Jesus told his listeners, "I am the good shepherd." For those hearing him at the time, this was probably as easy and clear a word picture as could be. For no matter where they might look at their time, there were shepherds and there were sheep. The majority of the people not only saw them, but they knew all about the work that was involved for a shepherd and his sheep. Knew very well the relationship of a shepherd to his sheep and the importance of the shepherd for the life, safety and welfare of the sheep. Now, for us today, maybe it isn't as vivid a picture as it was back then, but the message is still powerful and wonderful for us to consider. Jesus is our good shepherd. He knows us better than anyone else. He serves us better than anyone else. He cares in greater proportions than anyone else. And his love is greater than anyone else. The time is about 6 months before his crucifixion. Jesus is teaching in the temple courts of Jerusalem, had performed a few miracles. A miracle of significance was when Jesus restored sight to a blind man who had been born that way, born blind. This he did on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees accused them of breaking the Sabbath by making some mud and healing the blind man. They contended with Jesus, hearing him tell them of their spiritual blindness and not believing who he was. Then to teach them, he used his word pictures. The first was of a gate to the sheep pen. You see, in the evenings, especially when the weather was colder, the shepherds would bring their flocks together in a common pen. Most pens had only one gate, so that was the only way in or out. The relationship of shepherd to his sheep was such a close one that the sheep would be able to recognize the voice of their shepherd, and they followed that voice. They wouldn't follow the voice of a stranger, and only the valid shepherds were allowed in through the gate. Robbers and thieves might try to get in, climbing over the fence, but they still would need to go through the gate, and the sheep wouldn't follow the false shepherd. With that visual before them, Jesus said, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Now, as his audience is listening, he expands on his illustration and adds what we're studying in our text this day. For next he said, "I am the good shepherd." Now, in any occupation, there are those who do outstanding work and make sure everything is just right, perfect. And there are others who just do enough to get by and no more. Some have described those as those who quit looking for work as soon as they get a job. Jesus declared that he was the good shepherd. And good is probably a little too weak or bland. He was saying, I am the best of all shepherds. And that wasn't bragging by any means. He defended his comment by saying that as the good shepherd, he's willing to go to the extreme of laying down his life for his sheep. In the Old Testament, David, when he volunteered to take on Goliath, had to prove his ability and worth. So he told of his exploits in killing a lion and a bear who had attacked his flock and took the lamb right out of the predator's mouth. The good shepherd is willing to lay it all on the line for his sheep. One who was just hired to watch the flock, oh, they'd hightail it out as fast as they could go when there was a wolf or a lion or a bear. And they'd let it have its way. They weren't going to get in the way because the hired one didn't care for the flock, just the paycheck. But the good shepherd, like David, like Jesus, would defend the flock, protect the flock, regardless of the risk of personal loss or life. And Jesus is clearly telling his audience that that's why he came. And that's why he came for his flock of all time, for you and me. Notice how he emphasized his point by repeating his declaration, I am the good shepherd. Yes, he is the good shepherd who knows his sheep. Think of that for a moment. The creator of the universe, the Savior of the world, the Savior of all, knows his sheep personally. He knows you and me as individuals. And the Good Shepherd knows exactly what you need. He knows what your desires are and what your life is all about. I can't help but think of a time when I was serving in Minnesota, and I was kind of touring one of my fellow farmers or members' barns. He was an excellent farmer, by the way. He had a registered herd and had even raised a national champion bull at one time. Going through the barn, I noticed that each of the stanchions for the cows had different colored tags on them. And I asked him to explain, and he shared with me exactly what they meant. But more importantly, he really was telling me how well he knew his cows. Each of the tags stood for a measure of feed and grain to be given to each of the animals. See, he knew how much milk each of his cows would produce each day. And he could feed them a lot more, and the milk production would stay the same. So it would have been a waste to give precious feed and fodder, to give more when the production would be the same. That's how well he knew his animals, how well he cared for them. Jesus knows us better than anyone else. He knows what we are capable of, and at times will motivate us to use our assets more completely. He invites us to pray, but not for the purpose of filling him in on the details, which he already knows, but to keep our relationship in good order with him and remind us that all things come from him. And with such a close relationship, it just makes sense, doesn't it, that we, his sheep, know him as well, that we know what he wants of us, and we'll follow the voice of our shepherd, the good shepherd. You see, Jesus is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for the sheep. That's what he has done for us. As I mentioned earlier, there were still 6 months to go before Jesus would endure the horrendous death by crucifixion. But he was willing to go through for it because of his great love for you. Can you begin to see why it's only fair that Jesus is the greatest of all the shepherds? He laid down his life for you. Could have run away like a hired hand, but he didn't. He sacrificed for us naughty sheep. No one else does that. For no one else has the great love of the good shepherd for his sheep, for you and me. And that's a love that's not just content to settle for the flock as it is, but the flock should grow. Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of the sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. When speaking to his adversaries, the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, consider this for a moment. Even though they sought his demise, Jesus was seeking their souls. His goal was that even his enemies would meld into the flock and there would be just one shepherd. And how important is that for us too to note? God would have all to be saved. We ourselves are not some super elect group of people. We're not the haves who need to feel sorry for the have-nots. We are the sheep of the Good Shepherd. And as such, we are excited when the Lord adds to the flock from every race, gender, and nationality. The Good Shepherd wants all of us. That's why he even kept teaching his enemies and did not give up on them. And that is why, for us, we need to see others always with the eyes of our shepherd, the eyes of compassion and forgiveness and love. You see, word pictures are powerful. And when they're familiar in our area, they serve as great reminders of the message they're intended to teach. One of the first and possibly most noted paintings throughout church history is the picture of Jesus as the Good Shepherd. Oh, sometimes he was drawn carrying a lamb on his shoulders. Other times, as a stained glass portrayal in our narthex, which used to be a window behind the altar in our original church, you see Jesus holding the lamb close in his arms, close to his heart. Now, admittedly, you may have to drive a little ways to go and see a flock of sheep and even to see someone out there tending them and with them. And it's not something you may want to see every day. But that's okay, because we have etched into our mind the picture of the Good Shepherd. Someone who knows us better than anyone else. Knows what we need, knows what we'll do. He serves us better than anyone else as he gave his life for us. He cares in greater proportion than anyone else, and his love is greater than anyone else's. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, the excellent shepherd. Is there anyone else we'd want to follow? Is there anyone else who offers us what Jesus, the Good Shepherd, offers us, does for us what the Good Shepherd does for us, and promises to be with us always? Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Follow him. Amen. And now may the peace of God that goes beyond all understanding keep your hearts and minds in true faith till we walk with him in glory everlasting. Amen.